to Valley of Darkness. I'm your co-host, Matt.
Hi, everyone. I'm your co-host, Dustin.
Your greeting is just so weird every week. Dustin, we just watched the end of the two-parter season premiere of season two of Battlestar Galactica. What'd you think?
The first episode was great already. It brought us back into the thick of things, and the second episode just put us even further into the story, as it should. But like, it really got me pumped about it.
It put us right into the shit.
It did, yes.
I want to point something out. I read about this episode. It was brought up for a visual effects award, okay. And it lost to the episode that comes afterwards.
Now let me ask: did you read it before you watched it, or after? Okay, good.
Yeah, I've found now that what I'll do is after we watch an episode, I can go just Google Battlestar Galactica Season 2, and the Wikipedia list comes up, and so then I click on that episode, and then I'm only reading about that episode.
Oh, man, how do you keep from reading on?
I don't know. I mean, just sheer force of will.
Man, you got it.
But, so that kind of is kind of nice to see that, see it summed up in somebody else's language.
Okay.
The episode, so
I'll have to start trying that.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, what did you like about this episode? What tickled your fancy, Nancy?
I think it really pushed the president farther into a more prophetic role.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't take a sidearm. She said she wasn't going to stay in the prison, while the Cylons were attacking, but she still didn't have anything to protect herself.
Just her faith.
She's
a cleric. She's a level 17 cleric.
Yes, she is. She must have rolled high.
I'm a chaotic neutral cleric of Kobol.
Indeed. So what did you like about the episode?
First of all, I like the Cylons, like, the first engagement with a Cylon Centurion. The Cylon did not whip out a gun. It fucking had Wolverine claws.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, they weren't Wolverine claws. They were more like Lady Deathstrike. But still, the Extendo Razor Fingers, pretty cool.
Yeah. He's just tossing guys around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we haven't seen Cylons be that aggressive, in hand-to-hand combat yet.
Well, we haven't had the opportunity.
Have we?
We haven't had the opportunity to.
Okay.
They really haven't engaged much with the...
No.
Yeah, they've always been like firefights from far away.
So we already knew that they were intelligent. We already knew that they could do very well in a firefight. And now they're like Goliaths in, up-close combat. But, in the end, with those explosive rounds and some planning, the humans still came out ahead.
Well, I mean, that's what we got to do. We're survivors. Come on.
We're survivors.
What did you think of the drowning baby sequence?
Ooh, I was like, man, Gaius thinks that he's going to drown him, but I bet Olmos is going to baptize him in the water. And then Olmos just held him under there. I was like, oh my God. Oh no.
I like that your head went to baptism though.
Yeah, I this show has been throwing us curveballs and I'm trying to think of those curveballs ahead of time. I'm really trying to think ahead and I still can't do it.
I did not see that. I the entire time was like, Edward James almost is going to kill a baby. And then he did.
And then he did. Mm-hmm.
There's a deleted scene from this episode.
Oh, is there?
Which would have explained something to me. Okay. How did Colonel Ty, who never wanted to be a commander, who clearly never studied tactics, know exactly what the Cylon Centurions were doing?
Because he's a Cylon?
No.
Okay.
Not because he's a Cylon. There was another flashback sequence to him and Oma or Adama on their freighter, and Adama was just talking about tactics in the first Cylon war.
Okay, so he learned all of his tactical information from Adama.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the flashback was Adama explaining how they had gotten Centurions on board a Battlestar, and it went to the whatever the aft damage control and something else and vented the air. So very interesting that came back to Colonel Ty in his,
yeah.
I mean, I've drank away a lot of brain cells. I wouldn't remember something that fucking obscure from 30 fucking years ago.
Right, right.
I don't know. So, back to Caprica.
Yeah. We got Starbuck in her old apartment.
Listening to her dad playing a pretty bitchin' classical piano.
Yeah. And, you know, every time I hear music now, I think of Chad.
Yeah, and, like, I noticed that theme being played several times in the episode. It's like the music almost never stopped from that point.
Right.
What did you think of her driving a Chevrolet? I mean, a Hummer, you know, a General Motors product.
Right. It just made her more badass, I think, driving a Hummer around.
That's funny.
So she goes from flying
I'm still here. Just shut your video off. Your voice was sounding
good. Okay, video shut off. Oh, right. Yeah, she goes from flying a...
Shut your video off, Dingleberry.
Oh, shut my video off?
Yeah, it's your connection that sucks.
Okay, how's that?
Okay, your video's back on. Just click it once.
Oh, I did.
Okay, there. Now it's off. Good job.
Thanks.
Oh, and you sound loads better. Oh, and we just got up to 4 bars of service out of 5, so...
Sweet. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, she goes from flying the Cylon fighter to driving a Hummer. That's just... She's an all-around... she's a well-rounded automotive expert, I suppose.
Yeah. And I keep looking for, you know, in a past episode of Rancor's Brothel, we talked about anachronisms and crap anachronisms, as we called them.
Right.
So because this is like a divergent story from Earth, like it seems to me that maybe it's happening like currently. You know what I mean? Like what's happening on Caprica and the Battlestar is actually happening right now.
Yeah.
You know, it very well could be, at least.
I could see that. I mean, we saw ramen noodles make their debut in the TV show.
And that's what I was going to talk about, sideways anachronisms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She had a license plate on her Hummer.
Uh-huh.
And so I paused just to see. I was like, please tell me they didn't fuck up and just use somebody else's car that had an actual license plate on it. But no, it was a Delphi license plate.
Okay.
But isn't that fucking silly?
How so?
I mean, to believe that another society could grow completely separate from us and they had the same idea for license plates. Like,
yeah.
we can't even do that here on Earth. Like, when you go to Europe, they all have the, like, skinny, long license plates. Mm-hmm. Whereas in America, we prefer the short, squat rectangles.
Right.
That's kind of fucked, yo, that we can't even get it, you know, between continents here, but... Mm-hmm. And, you know, a fucking society a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away can fucking come up with this shit.
I think it just makes me believe more that there is an Earth and that these all these civilizations came from it.
Horse shit.
Not horse shit.
Mm-hmm, total horse shit.
I'm a believer. I think I am the president right now and you are Adama.
Okay, well then guess what? You're going in my brig, bitch.
I will take
everything on faith.
I will innocently walk into that brig. I'll sacrifice my my presidency for my prophecy.
Okay, enjoy that. Does that also mean you're going to die of cancer?
Yes.
That's sad. Moving on.
So what do you think about Billy and his inability to use firearms?
It was very cute.
Uh-huh.
She's like, if you're going to put that in your trousers, first of all, she said trousers.
Yeah, that stood out to me so much.
If you're going to put it in your trousers, put the safety on. And so, like, their guns look different than ours, but the safety was the exact same.
Right.
You know, the trigger guard's the exact same. The grip is the same. Because it's just like they just change up the barrel and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Dee and Billy finally making out?
I think that there's a pretty strong connection there. There's not a whole lot that can tear them apart, so I'm glad to see them together because they're like that cute couple.
But earlier in the episode, she was all like, "Fuck you, Billy."
Mm-hmm.
And then all it takes is a little head wound, and all of a sudden, Dee's got some Billy love in her.
Man, I'm gonna have to get some head wounds.
Power being out on a spaceship. Can you think of anything scarier?
Ooh, man. Yeah, and of course it happened because they hooked it up to the network.
Well,
that's why the power's out.
Perhaps that's what you were meant to believe.
They said it, didn't they? Well, I guess they that's what they believed.
They speculated that that's what it was. Gata speculated.
See, I thought that in the first episode, that I thought they pulled the plug on it, like, just in time, but... I mean, who else could have done it other than the Cylons?
Well, why couldn't the Cylon Centurions themselves have done it, you know?
You know, while they're on the ship?
Fucking R2-D2 can stick his little robot dick in a power outlet anywhere and yeah. tell you that they're on the detention level on, you know, level 7. Well, then why the fuck can't a Centurion figure out how to shut the power off?
Stick his giant robot dick in the...
Clearly. In the
right. I could see that. You think maybe there's a possibility it's someone else on the ship, like a human on the ship? Or
maybe a human on the ship that just wrote a computer or all the firewalls and had everything networked and could have subtly hidden something in his code.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think he's a Cylon?
I'm going to lean towards it.
You know, I can kind of see it.
I'm just speculating lightly, but I could lean in the direction of saying that Gata is a Cylon that doesn't know he's a Cylon.
Now, I don't think I can explain myself well enough, so I probably shouldn't bring this up, but I'm going to anyway. People who aren't Cylons have a very particular type of storyline. Those who are Cylons, they don't do enough. They don't have enough positive weight to them to, like, make you think that they definitely couldn't be Cylons. Like, Starbuck. She has, like, she's so – such a huge part of the positive story that if she became a Cylon, it would just be out of left field. But this guy who just, you know, like, writes this program and isn't really involved with anyone makes me think that he could be a Cylon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense too. To an extent.
Okay. I'll have to, like, think about that and elaborate in a later episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because that was really wordy, and you kind of got me lost a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Just throwing it out there, maybe someone out in listener land can, like, understands what I'm trying to say, and they can reword it and throw it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, go ahead and do that, somebody out there in listener land. Dustin, any other thoughts about this episode?
I think Cylon 6 is turning Baltar against Adama. I think that dream was something that she planted in his head. She's making him think that Adama would instantly just kill this kid if he found out about it.
Okay. Which is ironic because, you know, our first impression of Cylon 6 is her killing a baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out, I'm sure.
So, okay, Lee Adama told General Ty, not General Ty, Commander
God damn
Ty.
Damn it.
Colonel Ty.
Colonel Ty.
Lee Adama told Colonel Ty that neither one of them were fit to wear the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he is talking about, like, Ty's drinking problem, or is there something in the past that might have happened that Lee knows about?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and just an estimation that Colonel Ty's past is sordid and full of mistakes.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
Clearly he was already thrown out of the service. Something has happened with Thrace, you know, that has, like, just put a bad taste in his mouth. He doesn't respect Adama's son. And Adama's son doesn't respect him and never has.
Right, right.
So there's got to be something that's happened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with Ty and Commander Adama being such long friends, they've been friends for so long. I mean, Lee Adama grew up knowing General Ty or Colonel Ty.
I swear to God.
It's late. No, it's actually not. Anyhow. So he's seen Colonel Ty his whole life, and so I'm sure he's seen Colonel Ty fuck up, like, day after day.
Probably. Mm-hmm. All right, then, Mr. Dustin.
Yeah.
I've got no other commentary on this episode. You got anything else to say?
I have no other shitty commentary for this episode.
I'm excited for the next one.
Oh, yeah.
just because I thought the Centurions, especially for the time, looked very good, computer generated on a sci-fi TV budget.
Mm-hmm.
So to have this episode of Lost for visual effects to the next episode, I'm very excited about. So I can't wait to see how good it looks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, from here at the brothel, that's going to be it this week. Be sure and check out our sponsor at www.tkovapor.com. Be a superhero to someone in your life. Help them break the tobacco habit by getting them a fantastic e-cig product from Totally Knockout Vapor. Use the offer code RANCOR at checkout for 25% off. And the music today was from Starseed. You could find them at www.freemusicarchive.org/music/Starseed. And I'll put a link up in the show notes. So if you want to click on that and check them out, we sure would appreciate it because they're helping us out. And we want to help them right back. I guess that's everything?
Yeah, that's everything.
All right, then we'll see you next week. So say we all.
So say we all.
Bye.
Bye.
Ha 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 ha